This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on May 24th, 2012. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next matter on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2012-20. Mark Wayne Mullen. We have with us today Mr. Jason Torchinski and Sean Sheehy. Please feel free to join us. Ms. Selenkoff, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Chair Hunter. Good morning, or yes, morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 12-38 responds to an advisory opinion request by Mark Wayne Mullen. Mr. Mullen is a candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives and is also the president, CEO, and sole shareholder of Mullen Plumbing Incorporated and Mullen Plumbing West Division Incorporated. Mr. Mullen asks whether radio and television advertisements paid for by the Mullen companies would be electioneering communications when aired within the electioneering communication window. If so, he also asks whether, when he files electioneering communication reports with the commission, he must disclose the names of the company's customers who paid $1,000 or more for services rendered since January 1, 2011. The draft concludes the advertisements would be electioneering communications. The draft further concludes that Mr. Mullen will not be required to disclose the names of the customers of the company's customers. The commission received one comment from the requester. I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Selenkoff. Any questions or comments? Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm certainly sympathetic to the requester and how the law applies to your client. The ads here clearly are for advertising a business. I don't think anybody thinks that they're election related, but how does the law apply to these? When the electionary communications provision was put into place, it was, I think, hoped that it would primarily capture only those ads that are the functional equivalent of express advocacy, but I think baked into that was that it was going to capture some ads that were either purely issue ads or other types of ads. I believe in Citizens United, I can't remember if it was the first or the second hearing of oral argument in that case. I think it was Justice Alito who brought up the hypothetical about what if Walmart were to be advertising action figure dolls of the presidential candidates. Would that trigger an electioneering communication report? And one of the issues that was at stake in that case was whether or not there was going to have to be reporting of electioneering communications in the case where the ads at issue were not the functional equivalent of express advocacy. And the court said that no, that's not the case, that they don't need to be the functional equivalent of express advocacy in order to trigger reporting requirements. So in many ways, though I'm very sympathetic with the request and the concern here, as a commissioner, I feel like my hands are tied. I think that the statute does say what it says. In some of these cases, on the MER side of things, in the enforcement context, we have dismissed on prosecutorial discretion grounds complaints that have arisen in this sort of a context where there have been advertisements, where a candidate owns a business. I think there's one that was involving a funeral home where they ran ads within an electioneering communication window. And we dismissed it on prosecutorial discretion grounds. We can do that on the back end. At the front end, when we're having to declare as a matter of law whether or not these are or not electioneering communications, it's difficult. And like I said, and kind of, I think that our hands are somewhat tied on in this particular area. These do meet the technical definition. And though we are given some discretion to exempt electioneering communications, dealing with commercial transactions, what Congress granted on one hand, they took away a lot of on the other. So I'm reluctantly going to be supporting the draft. I understand the concerns, but I think that the law says what the law says, and so I will support the draft. And at the appropriate time, I'd also like to make a few amendments at the table.
Thank you. Commissioner McGann.
I think the Act says what it says. Under the plain language of the Act, this ad comes within the reach of that provision. The way I read the request is he's making, I think there's two different arguments. One is we do have the statutory authority to have carve-outs of something that would otherwise come within the Act, and the Commission has sort of done that on occasion. And the other is more of a legislative intent that Congress really didn't mean to reach this sort of ad, even though, well, the language they used did. I'm not sure I agree that they didn't intend to reach it. I'm not sure I agree with the opposite proposition. I'm not sure we really know, because the electioneering communication provision was one of these amendments that came in to get the thing passed. And I really think they used a meat cleaver, not a scalpel. And I really, it seems to me they were trying to ban everything. And to the extent they gave the Commission the power to do carve-outs, I think that was a way to protect against an overbreath challenge in court. But it's a troubling request, because you have an ad for a commercial business that's being caught up in the campaign finance regime. This is different than other situations where it's simply the business's name, which also happens to be the same name of a candidate. In the proposed ad, the candidate is actually talking to camera, identifies himself as by name, which seems to me to come squarely within the reach of the Act. Certainly, if I were left to my own devices, I think it goes. I think the law goes too far, and it certainly reaches ads that are not unambiguously campaign-related, but for the fact that the statute requires a targeting component, meaning more than, I think it's 50,000, or it's 50,000 or more. I'd have to pull the Act to see, but the ad has to be able to be viewed by a certain number of voters, so it is tied to at least voters. The most persuasive argument to me for creating an exemption is the result that now you're going to have business ads that have these paid for by the business and authorized by the candidate, and it gets into that mess, and then it eats up time in the ad. Very good arguments for, I think, a court. I'm not sure that's necessarily enough for us to, in an AO, carve out an exception as much as I'd like to. Slightly different facts, I can see a different result, but I guess I have a question for the requester on this. And my concern is, when we deviate from the Act, the Commission hasn't fared well. Sometimes it deviates from the Act and creates more permissive rules. Shays 1, 2, 3, Van Hollen, which is still on appeal, so I don't want to prejudge that one, but Shays 1, 2, and 3 are done. The more common problem is they overread the Act, or they don't realize it's been limited by a court, or that sort of thing. If we start carving out exceptions, help me with the justification. Certainly, the Supreme Court and Citizens United seem to say the government has enough in the government interest bucket to justify these sorts of disclosure obligations. Just because the government can regulate doesn't mean it has to regulate. Congress has given us some discretion to do carve-outs. But my concern is that we get picked off base rewriting the Act, and there's a Shays 4, Van Hollen 2 out there on this particular issue. I don't want to be in a position where we do this, and then this becomes the norm, and then there's a suit down the road, and OGC gets to the podium and it, and the judge says, okay, what's the basis for carving this out? Other than the basis of the statute gives the authority, what if the court says you need some sort of reason to do it?
Commissioner, I think that this was a difficult advisory opinion to decide to submit in the first place, because you know we did have the Rustero AO that said nope, not an electionary communication. We did know about the funeral parlor case where the commission declined in an enforcement action to apply the law and find a violation by a commercial business that advertised. But you know we were trying to be upfront here so that we knew on the front end whether we would have to comply with these disclosure and disclaimer requirements. And you know when you get back to what's the purpose of these disclosures, the purpose of these disclosures is knowing who is behind these ads. Well, if the commission says that I don't have to, you know, that Mullen Plumbing doesn't have to disclose all of its customers, Mullen Plumbing is not hiding from the advertisement. There's no doubt looking at the ad that it's a Mullen Plumbing advertisement. I mean, where's the government interest in basically forcing the plumbing company to reveal its essentially commercial deals for its advertising when it really has absolutely nothing to do with the election? It's the exact same ads that the company's been running for a decade. I mean, I think that the commission can approach this in a very narrow way, which is essentially to say, in this narrow set of circumstances, which is very consistent with a long-standing tradition of the business advertising in the exact same way and not changing its advertising close in time to the election, you know, there is the possibility of a carve-out. I mean, if we had just run the ad and then been here on an enforcement action, it sounds like we might have had a 3-3 split, but, you know, then you put the candidate and the company through, you know, 6 to 18 months of, you know, back and forth and uncertainty with the FEC. And, you know, it just seemed like coming to the commission in the first place and saying, hey, just clarify that, you know, in this narrow set of circumstances, which has occurred, what, three times since BCRA was passed in 2002, that, you know, the electionary communication rules really shouldn't apply to what is a bona fide, genuine commercial advertisement.
Do you have any, is there anything that you may have found in the legislative history that gives us a sense of what Congress had in mind when they gave the FEC the power to carve things out?
Not really.
Yeah. That's my concern, is the legislative history is not particularly helpful one way or another, because this was one of these sort of package deal that evolved out of Snow Jeffords and all that.
I understand that, but for any disclosure requirement, and let's ignore the fact that essentially the commission would be commandeering 10% of the television ad and 25% of a 60-second radio ad with the disclaimer requirements.
I don't want to interrupt you, but did you say the commission's commandeering?
Well, I mean the statute would be commandeering.
Government is, and we're part of the government, but let's not put all the blame here.
Sorry.
The streets of the White Dome and talk to those who voted for it.
You know, I mean, if you think about it, Mullen Plumbing is responsible for the content of this advertising. That just took me 3 or 4 seconds. In a 30-second radio ad, that's 10%. Mullen Plumbing is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee, paid for by Mullen Plumbing Incorporated, mullenplumbing.com. I mean, that just took a good 10 or 15 seconds, which is, you know, potentially up to 25% of even a 60-second radio ad, and God forbid they should want to do a 30-second radio ad, and half their airtime is now taken up by mandated disclaimers that really serve no governmental purpose whatsoever. There's no doubt that Mullen Plumbing is behind these commercial ads.
Right.
And so where's the government interest in requiring a commercial business to then also do not only take up 10% of the television ad and 25% of the radio ad, but also file disclosures that show how much they're paying for their advertising? It's virtually the same subject that is now the subject of the lawsuit by the broadcasters against the FCC about government-mandated disclosure of commercial activity, which really doesn't serve any real purpose.
Oh, that's true. Almost.
Okay.
Except for the last part. I'm not sure we can say it doesn't serve any governmental purpose. It may not be a sufficient governmental purpose. It may not be tailored to the sufficient narrowness that one needs to justify it, but I don't think you can say there's not any purpose, particularly when the Citizens United folks brought essentially the same argument to the Supremes, and they said, well, there still is this interest of the voters' right to know. Now, I understand that those were ads about a movie that was the functional equivalent of express advocacy. But they made the same sort of argument that she's 15, we're going to do 15-second ads and how we can have all these disclaimers and all this stuff, and you know, beats me why they upheld it, because I thought at a certain point the ad's so short and the disclaimers are so long, it seems to eat up a lot of the ad. But so far that hasn't worked out. Now, that doesn't mean the commission still doesn't retain the statutory ability to carve stuff out. It does from time to time. But again, I'm concerned. Let's assume this is a rulemaking and it wasn't. Let's say we pass a rule that says exactly what you want us to do here, and then there's a lawsuit saying that we weren't justified. My concern is I'm not hearing the real good argument other than, well, the Congress gave us the authority and these don't pass, so maybe that's enough.
The statutory authority granted to the commission permits the commission through regulation to grant an exception as long as the ad doesn't pass any candidate. I mean, that's what the statute says. The fact that the commission has so far declined to issue that regulation, you know, is troubling. But, you know, given that the commission has, you know, in at least one advisory opinion asserted that authority in the absence of a regulation, and in an enforcement action declined to move forward on a case that was, you know, if you take a strict reading of the law, which it sounds like at least two commissioners think would have been the case had the respondent in that MER come to the commission in advance, you know, would have gotten an opinion that said no, you know, you had to comply, you know, it's sort of tough to say, okay, well, because you asked instead of acting first, we're not going to give you the same exceptions that we've given the other two in the last 12 years that have come in before, or last 10 years that have come before the commission with the exact same circumstance.
Address, I can anticipate a concern that some would raise. Your case seems easy. You have a company, they've done previous ads. The guy's talking to camera who's a candidate, but he's talking on behalf of the business. There's nothing in the ad that's campaign related whatsoever, but for the fact the act essentially says it is because it's going to a certain number of voters and the guy happens to be running. What about the argument that some will make, that, well, this is some loophole, and why wouldn't candidates just do this sort of thing all the time, and what if it's the first time they're doing an ad for a business and all that sort of thing? How do we grapple with that? Because it's an issue that's come up in some of these now publicly available MERS they've done this ad before. What if you haven't done the ad before? Why is that significant? It makes it easier to get you a yes, but help me think through.
This was also an issue in the Heart of America restaurants complaint from a couple of years ago, where Dave Whalen, who was the restaurant owner, was in the restaurant ads, you know, all over the area that happened to be the district. And that wasn't an electionary communications question because we weren't inside the windows. It was a coordination question. You know, in the coordination area, and the reason that we don't think that, you know, running these ads, even if they constitute ECs, you know, constitute a coordinated contribution to the campaign is, you know, in the coordination section, the commission has very clearly laid out a commercial advertising exception. The commission didn't decline for some reason not to do the same thing in the electionary communications context. So I guess in my view,
it's a different issue, though, isn't it? Because if your business, your for-profit corporate business, gets caught court, if all of a sudden this business ad becomes coordinated, it's then prohibited, it becomes a speech ban.
Well, the same thing
is electioneering communication regime, although burdensome, is not a per se ban. It could chill to the point of causing issues, but it's I could see why that it's not that the commission forgot to do the EC thing. I mean, it's two different.
It is, but
related concepts.
Right. I mean, and the reason that we didn't ask about whether this would be a coordinated ad is because the coordination regulations have the commercial exception. But, you know, we're in this weird spot where it's not a coordinated communication, so it's not an in-kind contribution to the campaign, but yet we still have to comply with all these disclosure and disclaimer requirements that kind of suggest that it is. I mean, the candidate's going to be in the ad, and the ad's going to say not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. I mean, it's kind of a weird the statutory scheme is weird, but in this particular case, the application of it is kind of absurd.
So is the gist of the request you don't want to do an EC report, or the disclaimers and the actual content of the ad? You're looking for a way to get guidance on what the disclaimer ought to be. I know we have MERS where this has come up that are public, where you may have a candidate, you know, in the context of party committees, and is it, you know, do they have to say it's approved by the candidate? Once they say that, that makes it look like a coordinated. And that's actually more confusing to the public than if it's just paid for by the company, which obviously it is paid for by the company, because who else would pay for the company's ad but the company ad? Are you looking to just knock off some of the disclaimers and tighten them up so that it doesn't really step all over your ad?
In my ideal world, I would love for the commission to say, in this context, you know, in there's an exception just like there is for Restaro, and there's no EC here. If there's no EC, then there's no concern about the disclaimers, then there's no concern about the 48-hour disclosures, and there's no concern about, you know, the last question where the commission is being asked to address, you know, some issues that are pending in the D.C. Circuit, you know, kind of early in the, and while the litigation is pending. So, in some ways, it would be really easy for the court, for the commission to say, in this particular set of circumstances, in this narrow area, we're going to, you know, permit Mark Wayne Mullen to do the same thing that we permitted Restaro to do, and the same thing that we, you know, declined to enforce in the funeral home case. And that would be a really short way to just address this one issue. I mean, you know, otherwise my client's going to be in the position of, in the next 48 hours, having to decide to either, you know, rewrite his ads, you know, find somebody to host his Saturday morning radio show instead of him, consider going to court and see whether he wants to seek an injunction prohibiting enforcement actions against, you know, against Mullen Plumbing. I mean, to do this opinion as it's drafted, you know, puts my client in a very awkward position in the next 48 hours and you know, potentially, you know, embroils the commission in some litigation over this.
Awesome.
Thanks, Don.
I mean, that's my point. Maybe that's really where this needs to go.
I'd be happy to negotiate a consent decree with the commission and go forward with a consent decree over it. If that would resolve it. I don't know the commission's ever done that, but
I think it's had the options over the years, but declined. And
I, like I said, I don't think the commission's ever done it. But I wouldn't be opposed to it.
At least not voluntarily. All right, you had the situation in the other AO where it's the name of the business and the candidate's not talking to camera.
I believe that in that case, the candidate was the founder of the business.
Right.
Right, and it was named after him.
Right.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Right.
Here you have your guy, the candidate, talking to camera.
Whose dad founded the business.
Okay. If some of us think there's a distinction between the two of those, tell me why that's wrong.
The difference is he's not appearing in this ad in his capacity as a candidate. In other words, you know, it's pretty clear that people can wear, I mean, in campaign finance law, it's pretty clear that people can wear multiple hats, you know, state party chairs, you know, federal officials can have, you know, sort of personal capacities and public capacities. In this case, he's not appearing in this ad because he is a candidate. He's appearing in this ad because for 10 years, you know, I'm Mark Wayne Mullen of Mullen Plumbing has been the voice of this large plumbing company in Oklahoma for a decade. He's not appearing in this ad because he's a candidate. And he doesn't even mention or refer to the candidacy in the ad. So unless you knew that he was running for office, you wouldn't even know that he's running for Congress.
And let me ask you this. There was a time way back in the day where when it was identifying a federal candidate meant you actually had to say the guy was a candidate. The commission moved beyond that. I think Congress moved beyond that with the electioneering communication regime, where it's not the subjective impression on the viewer whether someone knows this guy's a candidate. There's an objective trigger. The guy's either a candidate or he's not because he's filed paperwork with the FEC or, you know, taking steps to get on a ballot and all that, you know. So it's not that, well, no one knows he's a candidate. If we start getting into that sort of thing, aren't we sort of conveniently creating vagueness in a regime that, for what you want to say about the electioneering communication regime, it's clear, right? I mean, it's bright line timing. Guy has to be a candidate, certain number of voters. I mean, they went out of their way to use the sort of very, very blunt meat cleaver to carve very bright lines. And I hear you that he's not appearing as a candidate. And to this sort of reasonable viewer test, yeah, I get it. That's his business. Everybody knows it's his business. But doesn't the statute still reach that? think it does. And are we getting into an issue of what really is identification of a federal candidate in this AO? I didn't think we were getting to that issue today.
Well, I don't think you need to get to that issue today. I mean, I think you could sort of issue a very narrow advisory opinion that simply says, in this circumstance, this advertisement is not an electioneering communication, and be done. I really think the commission has the power to do that.
And when you say in this circumstance, you mean because he's been doing this in the past? I mean, we couldn't obviously just grant the request just to this one person. But the factual part that you're narrowing it down to is he's been doing this long before he ever decided to run.
Correct. He's been doing it for long before he's ever decided to run. The volume of advertising is not changing during the time period where he is a candidate. I mean,
facts, right? I mean, that's
the
facts. Worry about the next guy or not, the facts in this case are you have a history of this commercial advertising at this sort of point level, this sort of script, this guy talking to camera.
That's
whether
correct.
Or not the next guy comes in and doesn't have the same point level or the same history, different AO, this is, you know, if you have the same facts, you're going to be protected by this AO if we say yes.
You know, I mean, if Sean Sheehy Ford, you know, Sean, my colleague sitting here, I mean, if Sean Sheehy had been advertising his Ford dealership for 20 years and decided to run for Congress and had always been in every ad, then and they weren't changing the volume of their advertising and their advertising was consistent with what it had been for 20 years, yeah, I mean, I think that this is a unique advisory opinion request because I don't think these specific facts are likely to recur very often. I mean, in the 10 years since the statute's been here, there have been three instances in front of the commission. There was the Rustaro, there was the funeral home, and now there's this one. That's three in 10 years out of hundreds, possibly thousands of candidates for federal office that have been candidates over the last decade.
If you believe the newspapers, a gazillion dollars.
Potentially, yeah.
One final question. You mentioned hosting the show. Talk about that for a minute. Just refresh my memory.
It's one of those Saturday morning sponsored radio programs. You know, the company for a decade has paid the radio station X dollar amount for that hour every Saturday morning, and he talks about home improvement things like how to make sure your pipes aren't going to burst and, you know, whatever else. I mean, it's an hour of Mark Wayne Mullen talking about home improvement projects.
Does media exemption protect that?
I don't know because in this case, the entity that's purchasing the time is owned or controlled by the candidate. So I'm not sure that it's protected by the media exemption.
Okay. It's a TV show.
It's radio.
Radio show. Sounds like media.
Could be. but it's owned or controlled by the candidate. I mean, it is the candidate's company that's paying for the advertising.
That's true. Kind of like Steve Forbes owned Forbes magazine, and the commission thought they could go after him for coordination with his op-eds, but then the suit was eventually dropped. So,
right.
I'm not sure simply because you also, I mean, I could see sort of Citizen Kane, too, you know, buying every TV station and propping themselves up, and that may go beyond traditional media, but I'm fishing for a yes here, Jason.
I hear you.
Asking media exemption, the answer is yes. or help me say, you know, advocate here. Help me out. I mean, is there? So you don't think that works either?
Well, I mean,
maybe it works. Maybe
look, I mean, I guess if I were going to try to put this under the media exemption, I would say Mullen Plumbing and not Mark Wayne Mullen is purchasing the advertising. You know, it's a corporate entity that's actually purchasing the advertising. It's just consistently had Mark Wayne Mullen as a guest.
So remind me, Mr. Torchinsky, you brought up some really good information and made us sort of, rethink voting for this draft. What is the deadline for this one, if council could remind us?
The election is June 26th, and the 30-day period begins, I believe, May 27th, because there's 31 days in May. So this goes into effect over the holiday weekend.
Okay, so what, I don't have my calendar in front of me, what's the date of this coming Tuesday?
This coming Tuesday is the 29th, I believe.
Okay.
So we'll be 2 days into the electioneering communications period. So it won't affect this Saturday's radio show, but it will affect next Saturday's radio show.
Would it be possible to get a bit of an extension from you to consider this And I'm trying to, I mean, if we give you an answer by next Tuesday, it doesn't help you for the Saturday's radio show, but I don't know if you have any advertisements running between now and...
This Saturday's radio show won't be affected because this Saturday's radio show is the 26th.
Okay.
So it's actually outside the window. But I can find out what advertisements are planned for Sunday and Monday over the holiday weekend. But, you know, the disclosure requirements don't go into effect until we've spent $10,000.
Okay.
I mean, given that we're only spending about $40,000 a month, I don't think in 2 days we would exceed the $10,000 threshold.
Well, if you could let us know, we can take a brief recess or a recess for as long as you need to determine whether or not you're able to give us an extension till Tuesday or Wednesday of next week.
We will. Yes, we can take a brief recess. We'll contact the client.
Okay. Thank you. And Commissioner McGann has another comment, but before we get to that, Mr. Torchinsky, you were able to talk to your client about whether or not we could seek an extension.
Yes, we can grant an extension until Wednesday the 30th. The client does not run advertising on Sundays, and the Monday-Tuesday spending will not exceed $10,000, so... if we get an answer that we're looking for by Wednesday, would be what we are.
I apologize. Commissioner Bowerly wasn't in the room. When I looked over, you were, so I apologize. You must have left after I looked over.
Okay.
Weren't you in here just a couple seconds ago?
I was not here when you started the meeting.
Okay, you were here, and I saw you, so I apologize for not seeing you leave. Could you repeat that?
Sure. We consulted with the client during the break, and the client does not run advertising on Sundays, and the Monday-Tuesday advertising will not exceed $10,000, so we can grant an extension until Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We
appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner McGann?
Just a final point. It's amazing what you learn when you actually pull the statute off the shelf. The exemption, the statutory, we've talked about the statutory power of the commission to exempt things. What the statute actually says is any other communication exempted under such regulation as the commission may promulgate consistent with the requirements of this paragraph to ensure the appropriate implementation of this paragraph, except that under any such regulation, a communication may not be exempted if it meets the requirements of this paragraph and is described in Section 301 with the subparts, which is now 2 U.S.C. 431.28.3. The statute expressly talks about regulation. AOs are also a creature of the statute. My concern is if Congress meant to let us do it AO by AO, they would have said AO. I don't think AOs and regs are synonymous in the statute. I think they're two different creatures.
Commissioner, I agree with you, but I would draw your attention to page 4 of the Rust-Darrow opinion. The commission said, the decision not to adopt a blanket exemption for such communications, however, does not preclude the commission from making a determination that the specific facts and circumstances of a particular case indicate that certain advertisements do not refer to a clearly identified federal candidate and hence do not constitute electioneering communications. So,
familiar with it. I had it in front of me because I think it's in your request.
Yes.
It absolutely says that. That doesn't contradict what I just said the statute says, because in Darrow, the commission said that wasn't clearly identification, that wasn't clearly identifying a federal candidate. So Darrow never got within the reach of the Electioneering Communication Act to begin with. Commission never reached the exemption part. So, you know, there's a distinction. If Darrow would have said it's an EC, but we're going to exempt it out, then I see your point, but the Darrow AO didn't say that. The Darrow AO said you're not even with the Darrow wasn't even within the EC thing. Now that's why I was fishing earlier for are we going to say that a candidate talking to camera is not clearly identifying a federal candidate because he never actually says I'm a candidate. Once upon a time, I thought there was the reg's been modified, and it's really not the EC reg; it's more the other regs. But
the clearly identified candidate regulation at 100.17.
If you speak reg speak. I'll take your word for that. I don't speak numbers. I speak concepts. So clearly identified candidate, that reg doesn't require you to say you're a candidate.
Right? That's correct.
Right. So just so you sort of know where we're coming down, I'm in play. But what Commissioner Peterson said makes a lot of sense, because I'm not sure, even though we have some authority, I'm not sure that the statute gives us the authority to do it in an AO. I wish we could, but what I will say is you got a great set of facts for a test case, and Godspeed on that front, because you know, look, the statute says what it says. I mean, but it is. I mean, I hear the argument you're making, but I think this is what Congress did. I think they swept a lot of stuff in. Business, not business, you know, and if the commission can do it through a reg with notice, comment, rulemaking, four votes and all that, then they can give you permission to do what you want to do. And I put the permission in scare quotes. That's the way McCain-Feingold set up. It's not based upon the idea you can do what you want unless it's prohibited. It inverts the what I think is the proper analysis. But that's a concern with the statute itself. So to the extent you drop in other comments or what you want to do to try to figure out where the votes are ahead of time, that's my problem is I've tied so much of what I've done at the commission to language in the act. Some people would say sometimes I've sliced the act a little too thin, but I've always tried to tie it to the act. And now I'm looking at the act and I don't see a lot of room to run. And if there is room that I'm missing, legislative intent, or whatever, I'm all ears, but I can't deviate from clear language of the statute unless there's some notion that regulation and AOs are interchangeable, and I'm not sure I buy that either. But if there's something else out there, that's to the extent you want to, as I said in the other AO, bait the hook, that's my hang up.
Okay, I understand.
Mr. Herman?
Mr. Torchinsky, if I understand the request, Mr. Mullen has been running these sorts of TV and radio ads for about a decade, about 10 years.
Sean, correct? Yes, correct.
And I take it that the content of the ads will not change between now and the election.
That is correct.
Do you think that Congress intended to sweep in these sorts of ads into the electioneering communication statute?
I don't believe so, and I also believe that as a constitutional matter, as Commissioner McGahn said, I don't think that even the disclosure regimes that the courts have laid out, the exacting scrutiny standard could cover this.
But you don't think Congress intended to sweep this sort of advertisement into?
I don't think Congress ever even considered this. When Congress passed BICR in the first place, they flat prohibited corporations from engaging in electioneering communications, and I don't think that Congress ever intended to ban bona fide commercial advertisements. There was no indication in the statute that banning bona fide commercial advertisements was part of the BICR Section 203 ban on corporate expenditures.
Thank you, Mr. Torchinsky.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the extension.
Thank you.